Okay, and here we go. Hours number 2 and 3 for you. Jordan Maxwell joins us tonight. Jordan, of course, one of the preeminent scholars studying world geopolitical control. He has been doing it for over 50 years. Jordan is an extraordinary resource. He is a living icon. In fact, in Japan and other Asian countries, but primarily Japan, when people get up to a certain age in life and have accomplished a certain amount of expertise, good in their field of endeavor, they are declared living monuments in order to pay respect to them while they're still here. And I kind of like that. I think of Jordan Maxwell as a living monument. And we're going to be joined by a friend of Jordan's. We'll call him Joe tonight, in fact, any other night as well. His name is Joe. But first, let's say hi to Jordan. How are you, my friend? How goes it?
Well, thank you, Butcher Jeff, for being on again with you. It feels kind of strange being back on radio, but here we are. Always happy to be with you.
Oh, good. It's been a lot of time, many years. We've heard some amazing things, and you've shared some extraordinary information. I will never forget the stories of your UFO encounters north of area, S4 up there in that area. You weren't in S4, but the little alien, Area 51, how you drove out on the dirt road, and you were, I remember this, you were directed to turn down, it was pitch black, and you turned down a road off a dirt road, and this is a dirt road out in the middle of nowhere, folks, and all of a sudden the sky, the clouds opened up, and down through the clouds came a number of illuminated objects, and you were in a convertible automobile, as I remember.
Yeah, and there were two other people with me that night. It was my editor friend, Paul Tice, and Ivy West. So there were three of us that saw it. And the two of them, there were seven UFOs, seven of them. And they were glowing bluish white, and they stopped directly over our heads and just stopped and sat there. And it actually, in fact, scared me. It truly was frightening to me. But to my two friends, they thought it was, you know, they thought they were seeing Santa Claus for the first time. They were dancing around saying, well, what a wonderful experience and how beautiful they are. But I wasn't. I was very much afraid. And that very night, when we got back to the little alien in our room, we had an alien visitor in the room. So this is why I when I hear stories about aliens up at Area 51, there's no doubt in my mind because one of them came in our bedroom that night.
So. Well, I remember the story. It's in the archives. You can all hear it, and a remarkable life you've led. So
I have had plenty of those kind of experiences. 36 experiences in my life like that.
I remember the other one when you were walking down the road at night, I think in your pajamas as a youngster.
Yeah, I was about 7 or 8 years old. Yeah.
The car came by. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was another amazing story. Well, what amazes me is the speed and rapidity by which evil has just sprung the trap. They've been planning for centuries on how to take control, total control of the planet.
Absolutely.
And its people, its countries, its wealth, and all the rest of it. But I think beyond that, there's another big prize, and that big prize is the human soul, the human consciousness.
That's what I think. Yeah.
I think they have co-opted that and are well underway in their plans to re-engineer the human soul to more closely fit something that will serve whatever purpose thereafter. I have no idea what it is.
I think you're right. That's exactly right. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, the sons of this world are wiser in a fleshly way than are the sons of light, which is extraordinarily true, accurate. The sons of this world are far more enlightened and educated that are the sons of light and not good people. The bad are brilliantly bad. They have extraordinary knowledge on how to manipulate the human race. They have destroyed humanity all over the world. They have kept our human family ignorant, ill-informed, and unread, and bamboozled the human race with their silly games and wars and drugs and alcohol and all the other, along with television. And so they have mastered the human race and completely confused us, we humans. So I don't know who these people are, but they're good at what they do. Like the Bible says that these people who are world, the people of the world that are doing these machinations are far, far wiser than the good people that they're ripping off. That's always been the case. Normal, good people, I've said this many times to you, that good people very seldom ever get organized on a massive scale to do anything.
It's
true.
They
get organized around the city, you know, to do small things. But
sure.
But these masters who are raping and destroying Christian civilization, they have been planning this for over hundreds of years. And this is massive coordination with money, power, and drugs. And it's a massive thing. This is why most people are not able to get their minds wrapped around how actually well this machine really is. It's how big it is and how well financed and organized and directed this tremendous machine that is marching over the earth. And it puts me in mind of some things which I've, in Hollywood movies, like Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds. When you see this UFO thing coming out of the ground and disrupting the city and destroying everything.
Yeah.
And then it's walking over the earth in all countries, destroying, raping, and pillaging, and frightening the whole world. What was that story originally all about? Well, it was written by, what's his name, Wells, H.G. Wells.
H.G.
And H.G. Wells was one of the founding members of the Fabian Socialist Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
Became known as the Communist Party, but it's called originally the Fabian Socialist Movement. And their idea was to take over the world, but to do it in such a way that no one would even recognize it happening until it was too late. And so, this was the H.G. Wells was one of the founding members of the Fabian Society. So I think that that's probably what he was really talking about in his book, War of the Worlds. The war of the world of mankind as it has been, as opposed to a new world order.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be a massive, international and massive war going on to destroy the old world order in order to bring about a new world order. So, in a manner of speaking, it is a war of the world. And I'm sure...
That's fascinating, yeah.
And I'm sure Steven Spielberg knows that. No doubt in my mind about it, because so many of his movies and cartoons for children have all overt communist stuff right there in your face, using communist terminology, Marxist-Leninist terminology, symbols and emblems of the old Soviet communism. It's right in your face if you know what to look for.
It's crucial to remember that Stalinist, Leninist, socialist communism, otherwise known more properly as Bolshevism, is a pure Zionist Jewish construct. Now, that's the secular part of it. We're not talking about the religious aspect. Zionism is a worldwide geopolitical engine of domination and subjugation. All right? It's not a religion.
No.
Anybody can. There are 35 million Christian Zionists in this country. They are considered to be very dangerous people, even by the government now, which has listed many of them as potential terrorists. It's crazier all the time.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a book, and we've talked about this book before, but I would highly suggest that you might even be able to find it as an ebook for free on the web. But I would very much suggest that you might want to get this book one way or the other. It's called Fire in the Minds of Men. It's written by James Billington, B-I-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N, Billington. James Billington, and James Billington, Fire in the Minds of Men. He happens to be today the chief librarian for the Library of Congress. So he's very much a systems man.
Oh, yeah.
And he's very well-informed and extraordinarily brilliant writer. I really admire the way he lays things out so incredibly.
Wow, fascinating. That's quite an endorsement from you. Stand by, Jordan. We'll come back in a minute, and we'll reprise the title and the author's name for those who didn't have a pen or pencil ready. So we'll come back in just a couple minutes with Jordan, and we'll say hello to Joe as well as we begin our two-hour segment tonight with two remarkable people. Okay, and we're back with Jordan. All right, Jordan, the name of the book again and the author's name for those who'd like to write that down. It may be online as
needed. It's a very important book that I'm suggesting everyone needs to know. This book is called Fire in the Minds of Men by James Billington. B-I-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N, James Billington. And as I said, he's the chief librarian today of the Library of Congress.
Wonder if we can get him on the program.
Yes, I mean, he would be sensational because he is an extraordinarily brilliant writer. But the thing I like about his book is that it's a very thick book, incidentally, quite a large volume. But it's so well written, it's fascinating. You can't put it down. He talks about the Bolshevik movement, the socialist world, socialist movements around the world, who's financing them, where the money comes from. Ties it into the religions of the world, from the British Israel World Federation, connections with the Zionist movement. It's just an incredible array of darkness that has been set up all around the world to manipulate the whole entire human family on the earth into a one-world, a totalitarian world state. And he outlines it and gives you one-third of that book, or almost one-quarter, I would say, of that thick book is footnotes. He has footnotes on everything, where everything came from, who's doing it. But I think it's the part I liked about it is when he gets into the occult religious aspect, all the different churches and the cults and the different religious orders that are connected to the world Zionist and the entire superstructure of this dark machinations for hundreds of years that have been spawning religions from Jehovah's Witnesses to Seventh-day Adventist, Second Adventist movement, Worldwide Church of God, British churches, American churches, especially the Episcopal and Presbyterian, and especially the Methodist Church, and how all of these churches and all of these institutions and educational institutions are being financed, organized, and directed behind the scenes by an extraordinarily brilliant and old order that is manipulating the entire planet. And again, this is a chief librarian for the Library of Congress laying out the entire scheme and how it works and what the words mean. And he gets into, and what's fascinating is he talks about Moses Hess, brings him up quite a bit. Moses Hess, the Jewish rabbi, rabbinical authority, was the first man who actually married communism to religion and Judaism. And he brings out how, and he shows all the documents and how Moses has brought the concept of communism into Judaism and ultimately into Christianity, and ultimately then from there into the Western world politics, and that and explains the Jewish connection to these occult doctrines and the occult teachings and hidden Judaism, where these words and terms and symbols in Judaism actually come from. And I was just amazed. I'm startled to see the brilliance of this man laying it all out in front of you. There's nothing you're going to do about it, because all it is pure history that most people have no idea even exists.
And never will.
Never will.
And the chance for that occurring is diminishing by the minute. The younger generations, of course, are being led down the road to mental idiocy and incompetency in many cases.
No doubt about it.
Certainly ignorance in all cases. That's the goal. They just don't think. Proactive life is now frowned upon. It's looked upon by many as a liability, something to be stomped down. Reactive, consuming lifestyles are what, in fact, the controllers want. And that's what they're inculcating into all young people. React to stimuli. The stimuli.
You're exactly right. That's precisely what's happening. There's a story in the Bible, in the story about Jesus. There's a story in the Bible that says that people came to Jesus one day and said, and they showed him some seeds and asked him, what kind of seeds are these? Now, keep in mind that these are metaphors, encoded mystery religion, encoded concept. But they asked Jesus, what kind of seeds are these? And he said, well, go plant the seeds and water it and watch what grows up. Because if it comes up as an apple tree, well, I guess they were apple seeds. But if it comes up as pear tree, well, I guess it was pear seeds. So then he says, so by their fruits you shall know them. That is a profound but simple truth. Plant the seed and see what comes up. There's your answer. Well, you apply that socially to the world. Look at what the educational institutions of America and around the world, but especially here, what have they produced? What is the fruitage of the American educational system? And you've got to realize that this is not by chance. It could be in one particular city that we have lousy teachers. No. This is a national problem. It's not only America, it's Canada, it's Australia, it's the whole Western world is being manipulated and exploited purposely according to a well-laid plan, so that eventually Western civilization will be turning out young people from schools and colleges that can't even find their own hometown on a map. But they do know the basketball stores, and they do know the different beers and all the partying, but they have no idea in the world how the world really works. So I say, by their fruits you shall know them.
Oh,
what is the fruitage of America's school?
By the way, who won the game?
I have no idea.
Good answer.
I couldn't care less. But anyway,
line is, it doesn't matter who wins the game.
No.
Because, you know, it's the addictive process. There's always another game. There's always a chance for revenge. A reason for existing, to attend another one, to watch another one. A reason for another day.
Hey, it's just business. You know how many millions are made every night?
It's all just business.
By the millions of people. And you know, when we hear all this stuff about the terrible drug cartels in Tijuana and, and then the South America and Central America and the meddling cartels and all the billions of dollars they're making and the horrible murders and criminality going on. But nobody has stopped to say anything on television about the fact, well, where are these cartels getting their money? They're getting their money from Americans who are on drugs. And so they're making hundreds of billions, and they are massively huge organizations trafficking these drugs. Somebody's got to be consuming them. So that's why I'm not criticizing the criminality. That's overwhelming and obvious. It's the Americans who are consuming the drugs. They're the people who are causing the problem.
Well, it's just like American contractors who hire illegal alien workers. They are encouraging it. If they didn't hire them, they wouldn't be here. Not to any
length. Well, I know.
Length,
that's the point. Yeah.
As they are. All right, just a sec, Jordan. Hold on. We have to pause. And we will say hello to Joe when we come back in just a few minutes as our evening with the brilliant Jordan Maxwell continues in just a few minutes. Okay, I'm back with Jordan. All right, Jordan, you'd like to introduce now, I hope, another very interesting gentleman who is, in your words, very, very wise and well-schooled in the world control and domination games going on, and I use the term games very advisedly, going on right now. Go ahead and introduce Jordan to us.
Well, I have come to a point in my life where I have many friends, and I enjoy them all, but my most personal friends have to be, in my opinion, have to be people who are extraordinary, because I love learning from other people. And one person I have learned so much from over the years is the guy I'm going to have on with me tonight. His name is Joe. He has degrees in music from back east in Boston. He has an 8-page resume on computers with 7 other pages of material, technology I've never even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy is a genius on computers and music, but he's also an extraordinary musician. But his real love is music. However, he is a master, as far as I'm concerned, occult law, all of the hidden words and terms and how governments work, how banking actually in fact works, what's the difference between state citizens, corporate citizens, United States citizens. I mean, it's an incredible array of well-established brilliance that this guy has been giving to me and sharing with me for years. So I want the world to know about him. And he also has one other thing that I consider to be the most brilliant facet of his work. But we'll talk about that in the second hour, and you'll see what I mean.
All right,
but
Joe.
Right now,
I just want
to introduce my friend Joe to the world, because I think what he has to say will blow people away.
All right, Joe, you're up. How are you? Welcome to the program.
I'm doing very well. Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, you're on Skype.
I'm on Skype.
Yeah, it's a good line. Sometimes Skype is not so good, but this is a good one, so you sound great.
Wonderful.
Okay, how did you run into Jordan Maxwell? Was it at the bus stop? Was it at the freeway underpass?
Whatever.
Soup kitchen? Where was it?
I was working for an armored car company doing some computer work, and we happened to indirectly work with the Federal Reserve.
That was the one that Jordan tried to...
around the world. This would have been around July of 1996.
Uh-huh.
And also very mysteriously, Jordan Maxwell's video, the basic slide presentation, a brochure for it, appeared in my mailbox.
Uh-huh.
I ordered it, I watched it, and my jaw dropped on the floor. Because we were indirectly working with the Federal Reserve. And when I saw that opening from Jordan explaining the symbolism on the dollar bill, I said, my God, I've been waiting a lifetime for this. So that's how it began. And then in September of 1996, Jordan was a religious editor at Truth Seeker magazine, and I gave Jordan a call. And that's when our friendship began. And then since I'm a musician, I made my way to the West Coast in February of 1997. But on the way there, I detoured to San Diego to personally meet Jordan Maxwell. And that's where it all began.
I remember I knew Jordan before that. And that was a long time ago, Jordan, when you were at the Truth Seeker.
Yeah. 17 years ago.
Something like that.
I've known Jordan for 20 anyway, and he has held his own on the world stage without really trying. And that's the sign of a truly brilliant scholar.
I'm not saying this because Jordan's my friend. I'm saying this as objectively as possible, but I do believe Jordan Maxwell is a genius in the classic definition of the word.
No question, I agree.
Basically, somewhat of a madman compelled to do what he must do at the at an immense sacrifice. Because I know personally the price the man has paid, and I've seen the poverty and just the ripoff artist. Everything. That is another 5-hour show in and of itself. So, but Jordan Maxwell has to do what he has to do, and that's usually how it is with someone functioning on the level of genius. You know, it's almost like a demonic spirit pushing them onward.
All right, Joe. Now, the idea that you have come into this game 17 years ago, you have apparently immersed yourself, in addition to spending a great deal of time with Jordan in conversation and on the phone, learning things that very few people would be able to at this point in their lives actually assimilate anymore. And those who can, in many cases, want merely to use that knowledge to solidify their instinct that they should get the hell out of here and withdraw. And a lot of them do. But for some reason you didn't. What was it that kept you coming forward into the field?
Oh boy, that's like speaking about the implications of E equals MC squared. What I would say about that, Jordan mentioned, and you mentioned too, thought and mind. And I basically think, you know, the system is set up in such a way where you're always inhabiting a house divided, which is yourself. And I refused to do that. I said, now there's a reason I'm feeling these things. There's a reason I'm thinking these things.
Sure.
And there's something to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was it, basically, because it seems like everything's set up where the reinforcement mechanisms are, the short phrase would be to keep you as a house divided. Do not trust yourself. You're not good enough. Something along those lines.
Well, it's divide and conquer, the old game, but it's applied individually as well as on a group basis. The area that you find most intriguing, is there one area that really twinges your mind and makes you want to go after? What is it about the game, and what a deadly game it is, of total, full-spectrum domination of a planet that really intrigues you?
Anything worth knowing, you will not be told.
Oh, that's perfect. That's a perfect way to go to the break. Hold on. I like that. I like that. Anything worth knowing, you will not be told. Let's think about that. Anything worth knowing, you will not be told. Yes, indeed. Okay, here we are, and back, talking to Jordan and Joe. All right, now, it has been said, and in fact, Jordan said that, we've talked about it many times, that the most valuable commodity on this planet is not gold, it's not platinum, it's not petroleum. It's knowledge. It's wisdom. It's information. And the controllers are very, very astute and very adroit at letting the knowledge trickle out and then reeling it back in when they need to. They are amazing at it. Jordan, they've had a lot of practice. And it still is remarkable to me at how well-trained the masses are. And I just see them, unfortunately, and I've said it a million times, becoming dumber by the hour. And it's not their fault. I don't hold them responsible. They're up against technology that is undreamed of, essentially, by most of them. They couldn't imagine how far ahead of the game the controllers are, whether it be ELF, microwaves, cell phones, embedded information in the media, television, movies, music, embedded information electromagnetically in the power grid, for example. It's everywhere. And people are electrical beings first and chemical second, and they don't really have a chance.
Nope. They don't understand what's really going on the Earth today. Let me preface Joe's comment by saying that he has taught me so many things which I was not aware of. And some of the most interesting points about how there's a whole different government going on in the United States than what people think. There's a difference, a world of difference, between United States in law, the word United States, and United States of America. Totally different. And there's an incredible difference between an awesome story about the difference between a federal citizenship as opposed to a state citizenship, and how all of this began and what happened during the Civil War and what happened after the Civil War, and how did the insurance companies come into being because of the 14th Amendment. And why do you have insurance companies today? And when you begin to look, the insurance companies are the brains and the power behind banking because of the 14th Amendment and our entire superstructure of our government in America and in the Western world goes back to occult, hidden words and terms that have been totally hidden from we the people. And we have no idea in the world how this stuff really works. And Timothy Geithner, a few months back, was being interviewed by one of the congressional hearings, and he said on television to the congressman that was talking to him, he said, "Congressman, with all due respect, I don't think you really understand how commerce works. It doesn't work the way you think it does." And I thought, there is the first time I've heard him say something of momentous significance. That's true. Virtually nobody in this country knows how commerce really works. They don't even know the legal terminology of what commerce means in a law dictionary. Commerce is sex, S-E-X. Sexual relations is referred to in law as commerce. And the sexual act in law, in a law dictionary, is called congress. And so you caress and congress. So it has to do with sex, the reproduction of human beings. It has to do with the business of sex, the business of recreating entities and people to be bought and sold like animals, maritime admiralty law, banking, the very word banking, where it comes from, the very word commerce. Once you break down how this world system actually work that will blow your mind, because it has nothing to do with anything you thought you understood. This is why the work that that I've enjoyed talking with Joe over the years. Maybe he can elaborate on how we got into this mess and what's the difference between United States, which was a republic in 1776, as opposed to the corporation, a privately owned company, or as a municipal corporation that has to have a president of any corporation. So we got Obama, who's the president, not of America. He is the president of a corporation, a company. Founded in Delaware. It's a corporation. It's a company. It hasn't got nothing to do with America, with the Constitution. That's why you hear people talking about Obama and about his birth certificate, and he doesn't have he's not born here, so he really can't be president. That's ludicrous on the face of it. He doesn't need to have been born here to be president. He doesn't need it. That's why there's nothing you can do about it, because he is not the president of America. He's the president of a corporation. And there are many corporations in California that have Chinese who are presidents of the corporation, Africans who are presidents of corporations. My God, we got Europeans here who are presidents of corporations. That doesn't mean they have to be born in America just to be the president of the of Toyota Corporation. It's just a company, for God's sake. Well, that's what's going on today. Obama is the president of a privately owned company. It's a corporation. Has zero, nothing to do with the United States of America, the Republic.
Not anymore.
Zero, nothing. And so people are looking to Obama as the great leader of America. He is the president of a corporation, period. So that's why I'd like to have Joe explain this.
Sure, and we are just corporate assets, as it were.
That's all you are. It's just a corporate asset.
Yeah. All right, well, Joe, go ahead.
I think the strict definition for the term for what everyone really is functioning as in commerce is a legal entity under mortmain. But before we get into that, Jordan, one thing Jeff said about the electromagnetic frequency and things, that type of technology, it's very interesting when you look at commerce. There's a document available on the internet called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars.
Oh, that's famous. Let's give credit where credit's due. Bill Cooper was first to bring it forward in his book.
Exactly. And in regards to that, it's if you have an electrical circuit, you will, with the right conditions, you will generate a current. And then above that current, there will be a magnetic field. Put two or three people together in a world, they will generate an economic field. So somebody understands this. They understand through the control of finance, you have control of people. And getting back to what Jordan said, tie this in. This is an interesting something anybody can look up on Google Scholar. It's a court case called Jones v. Temer, 829 Fed Sup, 1993. This is what's stated in the footnotes in regards to the distinction between United States citizenship and what's called state citizenship. The Privileges or Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment protects very few rights because it neither incorporates any of the Bill of Rights nor protects all rights of individual citizens. See slaughterhouse cases. Instead, this provision protects only those rights peculiar to being a citizen of the federal government. It does not protect those rights which relate to state citizenship. So, when you're a citizen under the 14th Amendment, do not talk about the Bill of Rights. Through Title 42, United States Code, at their discretion, maybe they'll bring in a few privileges for you, but don't talk about the Bill of Rights. You, as a United States citizen under the 14th Amendment, which is an 1868 amendment, there is no access to the Bill of Rights. None. And that's anybody can verify that. Mm-hmm. Go to Google Scholar, mm-hmm. Jones v. Temer, 829, Fed Sup. And they make the distinction here between federal citizenship and state citizenship. And the 14th Amendment is 1868. So that begs the question, then what was George Washington? He was not alive in 1868. He could not be a federal citizen. There was no 14th Amendment.
Well, I think you got to keep in mind the context of that time, 1868, right after the Civil War, which, of course, was propagated to keep the Union together so the central banking system could be more easily installed and run.
Well, that being said, if you go to the California Constitution of 1849, this is prior to the 14th Amendment, prior to the Civil War, this is what it says, and this is available online for anyone to verify. The legislature shall have no power to pass any act granting any charter for banking purposes. No banks prior to the 14th Amendment. No banks in California.
Right.
The legislature shall have no power to pass any act granting any charter for banking purposes, but associations may be formed under general law for the deposit of gold and silver, but no such association shall make, issue, or put in circulation any bill, check, ticket, certificate, promissory note, or other paper, or the paper of any bank to circulate as money. Now you have an 1879 Constitution of California, and that is not there in that language. So that's just amplifying what you just said, Jeff.
All right. Very good. Very well said. Okay, back in just a couple minutes as we enter our second hour with Jordan Maxwell and Joe. So don't go away, at least not too far away, and come back for hour two.